Luke chapter number 4. I've got a lot of folks here that have been invited to the meeting. We thank you all for being here. Sure appreciate that. And the home crowd here, we thank you for the members out tonight for revival meeting. Amen. Here in the Gospel of Luke is where I want to read to get us started tonight. I don't usually tell stories or jokes or things like that. That's not what I do. But I'll tell one tonight, okay? I didn't tell any yesterday, all day long. So I'll tell one tonight. They say that there was a dollar bill and a $100 bill minted the same day at the U.S. Mint. And those two bills went out into circulation. And after about 30 years or so, they bring that money back to the mint to be incinerated. They take it out of circulation because it's old, it gets damaged or written on or something, you know. And those bills met up on the conveyor belt heading toward the incinerator. And as they stood there on the conveyor belt, the $1 bill said to the $100, "Well, how'd it go?" And he said, "Oh, man," he said, "it's been great. What a ride." He said, "I've been in millionaires' pockets. I've been in the purses of queens." He said, I've been around the world. I've been on airplanes. I've been on cruise ships. I've been spent in casinos. I've been found in 4-star hotels." He said, "I've just been everywhere, man. How about you?" And the dollar bill said, "Well, I haven't been doing anything but going to church." He said, "What? How's that possible?" He said, "I got stuck in a deacon's wallet." So that's all I got for humor here tonight. Amen. All right. In Luke chapter number 4, if you would look with me in verse number 14. It says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee." I'll tell you, wherever Jesus went, he had the power of the Spirit upon him. "And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went up into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" Now, who is the gospel for? I know it said it's for the poor, but who's it for? It's for everybody, okay? It's for everybody. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." What Jesus came to do is needed by everyone. There aren't exceptions. And I want to draw our attention to one of the things that Jesus came to do in verse 18. I know he came to preach the gospel and to save souls, but the second thing it says here is what I want to preach on. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And there are many, many people, I dare say all, that have some heart problems, broken hearts, that Jesus came to want to heal those hearts. Let's pray tonight. Father, we ask that you would bless your word. Father, I pray that you would give me a filling of your Spirit, Father. Lord, I'm nothing. I'm no kind of preacher, and Lord, not the Christian I ought to be, but Father, you're everything. Lord, you have the answer of peace that people need here tonight. Lord, you know where they're at in their life and what's going on. I don't. Others here don't. But Father, you know. Lord, we pray that your word would reach down inside of them. God, your Holy Spirit would apply it, and that people would get some help tonight and make a difference in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It said this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 56. "For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." You know, he not only saves souls so they don't die and go to hell, but he saves men's lives. Even a person like me, I received the Lord as my Savior, got saved when I was 7 years old. And there are a lot of things in my life that could have happened that haven't happened because of the goodness of God and getting saved at a young age. But there are other people that they did not get saved at a young age. And there are a lot of things that have happened in their life, but God is able to put lives back together again. He saves men's lives. And in the Gospels, we see that over and over. People that were lepers, people that were beggars, people that had all sorts of problems in their life. And when they met Jesus, they were never the same. Amen. He can heal the brokenhearted. The book of Proverbs, in chapter 4 and verse 23, says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." He said you must keep your heart. It's very easy to lose your heart. That's how hearts get broken. You lose control of your heart, and it ends up broken. He says to keep it with all diligence. In Psalms 108 and verse 1, David said, "Oh God, my heart is fixed." Now, I know that there's a meaning there that he was saying it's focused on God. It's a singleness of heart. But I'm glad that I can say my heart is fixed. Jesus did the fixing in my heart. Amen. That's what David could say. His heart was fixed. We hear a lot of preaching, but it seems as though a lot of times people don't seem like they get help. And similar messages are preached, and people are still kind of dealing with the same issues. Years ago, when we moved into our house, and we wanted to paint that place, you know, you get the paint and start painting rooms. And when we came to the room that was going to be John's, we had some blue paint to put on the walls. And as we got started in there, I mean, we'd had no trouble to this point. But as we started going along there, it didn't want to stick, and it's starting to come off the roller and fly around. We said, uh-oh. Somebody, the last owner here, used oil-based paint in this room. And this paint's not going to work. We're going to have to prime this wall first. And we had to stop what we were doing and go out and buy some primer before we could put on the blue paint to that wall. And you know what? That is what is so true, I think, of our churches and our preaching. It's not sticking because there's some heart issues. And until you take care of those heart issues, it seems like we'll preach the same things over and over, and maybe people just aren't getting help. You got to deal with heart issues. Psalms 44 and verse 21 says that God knoweth the secrets of the heart. He said in Romans chapter 2, "In the day that God will judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus, according to my gospel." See, God knows what's going on in your heart. I don't know your heart. I'll be honest with you, you don't know my heart. There's dark secrets of my heart that you don't know, and I would never let you know. And you're the same way. But God knows what's down in your heart. Everybody's got something down in their heart, and only Jesus can heal that thing. That's the way it is. People hide what's really going on down inside of them. But nobody can hide from Him with whom we have to do, the Bible said in Hebrews 4. Now, the first thing I'd like to bring out to you about a broken heart, the first thing that hearts are broken by is anguish. Look in Psalms chapter number 13. Psalms chapter number 13. And there's nothing great and special about what I'm going to preach to you. This is just how it is. And most people have experienced one or more of these things tonight. The first thing I'd like to bring out to you is anguish. In Psalms chapter 13 and verse 2, David says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me?" He said, "I have sorrow in my heart every single day. One day, 2 days, 3 days, a month, maybe a year, it's been going on, sorrow down in his heart." And many people suffer from anguish. They have a broken heart because they have anguish and sorrow down in their heart. You don't need to turn there, but you remember that when David's son Absalom rebelled against him, and he had to flee for his life, but in all of that, David still loved and cared about his son Absalom and didn't want harm to come to him. And when it came time for the battle to be fought, Joab and the men of war went out and they fought against Absalom and his army. And they were successful. God allowed them to have victory and to preserve the kingdom of David. And it says that Joab went against the king's order, against David's order. And instead of capturing Absalom alive, he had him killed. And it says this in 2 Samuel 18. It said that as they come to bring news of the war, it said, "And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son. He's just overcome with the grief, the anguish in his heart that his son had been killed and was dead and was gone. Boy, what a tragedy that befell his life. But I'll tell you what, time goes by and about every one of us finds ourselves with sorrow down in our heart for one reason or another. It happens. We went out and passed out some gospel tracts this last Friday night at a haunted house. They got that old schoolhouse in Dent over there in Cincinnati. And we went out there on Friday night to pass out some gospel tracts, people going in and out of there. And there come a couple of ladies along, and you know, you don't know what people are thinking or why they're going there, and the tracts are getting thrown down, and you know, some people receiving, you got different things going on. And these two ladies just begin to want to talk with Brother Matt Garassi. We were out there together, a couple others passing them out. And this woman begins to open up her heart and said that her daughter died just recently, and she was coming out to the haunted house because it just needed to get out of the house and do something to kind of change, get her mind off of what's happened. She's just stewing at home. You know what happened? She had a lot of sorrow and grief down in her heart, was hurting. And Brother Matt was able to talk to her and witness to her, invite her to church and tell her that God is the God of all comfort. He's given hope to those that have placed their trust in Him, that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God, and we're going to spend eternity with our loved ones who have put their faith and trust in Christ. God has an answer of peace, but there's a world around us. We would not have known that. She could have been just the same as everybody else that was passing us that night, whether they took a track or not. And you think, well, I know what these people are about, headed into this haunt. See, we didn't know. There was no way I could have known the hurt that was going on inside of that woman's heart. People suffer great losses, and it gets down in their heart. They have this anguish and this pain. A lot of times it leads into depression. We live in a society where depression is diagnosed and treated like never before. And they say that there are millions of people that are still undiagnosed. They're in a state of depression and they've never even seen a doctor. And they say that these are some of the signs. A continual feeling of sadness. That's what David said. He had this sorrow in his heart daily. You know, it's normal to feel grief and sorrow, like for losing a loved one. But in time, those things usually, they get a little bit easier to handle. Things get back, you get some things in your life that you can still receive some enjoyment from. But when there's a continual feeling of sadness and a lack of interest in the world around you, they say you're dealing with some depression. They say trouble sleeping. People can't sleep because they're depressed. What is that? It's anguish down in their heart. They have a broken heart that only God can heal. Amen. That's what the problem is. Some people even have the thought of dying. I tell you, if you was to be in that case, I tell you it's the attack of the devil. It said there in Matthew 17, I believe it is, that there was that boy and his father come to Jesus and said, my son is lunatic. Oftentimes, he falls into the fire. Oftentimes, he falls into the water. You say, what was that? That was devil trying to kill him is what it was. When Jesus come to the man in Mark 5, possessed of the devils, and they desire Jesus to be able to depart out into the swine, they got into the swine and they violently ran down the hill and were drowned in the sea. The devil is violent and he would like to kill you. People that hurt themselves and have those suicidal thoughts, that is an attack of Satan upon them to end their life. The people get depressed, but they've got that anguish in their heart. The devil is trying to use that against you. Paul wrote this over in 2 Corinthians 2:7 about one that was that he could be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. He said it's possible to just be swallowed up with that sorrow. That's a sad thing that you could be that way, but it can happen. That broken heart can overcome you. It has control. There's an old saying that time heals all wounds, and that's not true. You know, if you broke a bone and you don't go get the thing set so it heals properly, you know, it might heal back somewhat, but it's always going to be weak. Amen. It'll be susceptible to being broken again. You'll end up with arthritis in it, and it'll hurt. You say, why is that? Because it was never really dealt with. Never really got taken care of. It says this in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 16. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe unto us that we have sinned, for this our heart is faint. For these things our eyes are dim. You know, another reason people have anguish in their heart is over past sin. They have guilt. And the guilt is down in their heart because of things they've done. And they can never seem to move past that. You know, whatever it is, people, they just have things in their background. I like to use some in the Bible. You think about Saul, who became Paul, and what kind of baggage that man had. And he's the one who wrote, "Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark." He had to forget the things that were in his past, the terrible things that he did, holding the coats when Stephen was stoned to death, going out and giving his voice, being the very witness to have people condemned who were Christians. And he had to get past those things. That was in his past. And many people are burdened by what they've done in the past. But Jesus wants to give you a fresh start. The people that came to him, there was a man who lay at that pool of Bethesda for 38 years. Boy, he had a whole lot in his past. But Jesus got a hold of him and he was never the same. That 38 years of his past was in the past. He could walk in newness of life. Jesus healed his heart. Now, second of all, I'd like you to turn over to 2 Samuel 13. Not only does anguish cause broken hearts, but also we've got a matter of affections. In 2 Samuel and chapter number 13, there's a terrible story. One thing about the Bible, God never pulls any punches. The things that happen in society today have happened in society for hundreds and thousands of years. Throughout man's history, there have been a lot of wicked things happen. They scar people, they hurt people. And that's a story that we find in 2 Samuel 13. It says that Amnon, David's son, had these feelings for his sister Tamar. A terrible sin occurred. But if you would skip down to verse 19, it says, "And Tamar put ashes on her head, and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her head, or on her, and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister, he is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house." Now that means that she never got married. That means that she was never normal like a young lady should be again. She was desolate, the Bible says, and remained that way in her brother's house. It never says she got over it. You never read about her ever getting out of this condition. She had a broken heart over the affections that had happened. Now, you know, people have a lot of broken relationships. And Brother Phil Gabber was teaching in Sunday school here and getting into some of those relationships that are broken in our society today. You realize that child abuse is just a matter of reality. There's physical abuse. There is mental abuse. There is sexual abuse. And some things that people don't want to really talk about and admit occur, but they do. Our society is in a bad, bad shape. And that puts a mark on a child. Imagine an 8-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old is putting up with this stuff. And we expect them to be normal when they're 17 and 20. You wonder why they're dyeing their hair black and painting their fingernails black and getting earrings all over and wanting to get tattoos and getting into some sort of alternative gothic type of lifestyle. I'll tell you why. Because they've got a broken heart. They've had some relationships that have just gone off the tracks. They've had some bad things happen. You know, it used to be that it was a shameful thing when you were from a broken home. You know, years ago, divorce was almost unheard of. And people that did it, everybody talked about it behind their back, and they thought, that boy, that's awful, terrible. Look at that family. You'd talk bad about them because they got divorced. You'd feel sorry for the kids because it happened. And you'd like, don't hang around them because of what they've done. What their families, what their testimony is. Hey, these days, a lot of people don't know who their father is. Our society, we have children growing up without a father figure in their life. And we expect them to one day be men of God, to know how to be fathers, to do it the way the Bible says. They have no idea. They have a broken heart because of what they've grown up with. This society now, they grow up without mothers. A tragic thing is very, very close to our family. We have a cousin, and one of Edwina's cousins, and her daughter is basically the same age as my son. And that girl has gotten her, that mother has gotten herself involved in drugs over the years and lost custody of that girl. And now her grandparents are raising her. Now, God never intended for grandparents to raise children. He wanted parents to do that. That family's already broken down here. And that girl is now 14 years old, and they're having all sorts of trouble, and they're looking at having to get her into like a reform home. This girl has never known, she has never known her father. He was no good anyway. She's never known her mother because of the problems that she's had, not spent much time around her. She loves her mother. She'd like to have a relationship with her mother. And her mother just, she's not in the place that she can because of the problems she's got. Amen. This 14-year-old girl, Desiree is her name, please pray for her. They're trying to get her into a home. Amen. We care about this girl, want to do something if we could to help her out. Amen. And that's how it is. Your family's probably the same way. Yep. Somewhere you know somebody that's similar in this situation. The affections have broken down. They're going to have broken hearts because of broken relationships. Yes. I think about old Samson. Samson never got over losing his first love. He never should have fallen in love with that girl down there in the Philistine. He never should have done that in the first place. But he did. And then the Philistines messed around and told him the riddle. And he had the riddle, and they got the answer out of his wife. And the next thing you know, one thing's happened after another. And they end up burning his wife and her father in their own home. The Philistines retaliate against their own to punish Samson. And you realize that Samson never got over that. After that, you'll find he went after harlots. That first one, he wanted to get married. He loved her. He wanted to have a relationship with this girl. But after that, his affections were messed up. He had a broken heart that he never, ever did really get over. That's how come you find him in the arms of Delilah later on. Never got over that. You know, Judah, Jacob said this about Judah in Genesis 44 and verse 30, that his life is bound up in the lad's life, talking about Benjamin. See, Joseph, he had presumed was dead. And then there was the next boy there, Benjamin. And it said his life was bound up in that boy's life. That is not healthy. It's not healthy for somebody's life to be bound up in somebody else's life. Okay? It uses the word bound up. Okay? That's a binding. And it's not supposed to be that. It's not a normal relationship. He was afraid to let Benjamin ever get very far from him. Why is that? He had some affection problems down in his heart. He had a broken heart that only the Lord could take care of. And one day he found out. Joseph is alive. Type of Christ. He's able to get down there and see his son. And you know what? You don't see him acting crazy about Benjamin anymore after that. Lord healed his broken heart. Now if you would turn with me again now to Proverbs 23. And let me get a third thing. And that would be addiction. Many people have a broken heart similar to my wife's cousin that I brought up due to addiction. In Proverbs chapter number 23, Proverbs chapter number 23 and verse number 29, the Bible says here in this passage, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look what it says in verse 35. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Why would a person seek it yet again? Well, that's what we call addiction. See, an addiction is when you've given into a strong desire on a regular basis so that you have lost control, and it controls you. That's what an addiction is. You don't need to turn there, but listen, in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says about the wicked folk now, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. They cannot control their eyes. They cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls and a heart have they exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. It continues in verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Some have escaped, they got away, but then it says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. Some people have a broken heart because of addiction. Right. A person that is addicted will feel like they must satisfy their craving at all costs. These are the facts of it. A drunk is never satisfied with just one drink. One drink's never enough. A dope addict is never satisfied with just one fix. Because they're addicted, they're going to have another one. An adulterer is never satisfied with just one fling. That's why pornography is crazy in this country, because the lust of the eyes is never satisfied. And it said there that they have eyes of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Once is never enough. They'll just continue on. A gambler is never satisfied with just one bet. They can't control themselves. You know all about Pete Rose. I mean, he's a good example of that. Couldn't control things. It got out of control on him. Ends up getting thrown out of baseball. He was a legend. I mean, he's the hit king, most hits in baseball. And they threw him out and he can't get into the Hall of Fame. Why? Because he had an addiction to gambling and one bet's never enough. It had control of him. You know, there are people, they get addicted to various things. We have people addicted to horror movies. They'll watch a horror movie where people are getting stabbed and cut and sliced and diced, and after they're done with that, they have to watch something that's worse than that. You say, what is that? I'll tell you, it's some kind of warped addiction. The devil is working through addiction. He's messing with people's minds through that stuff, and it's caused a broken heart. This day and age, we got all the violence. They talk about kids getting hooked on these violent video games. Well, there's people, they watch violent movies. I mean, they want to see somebody getting killed. It's not enough to watch old-time movies like Sergeant York. You know, they had old Gary Cooper out there, and when he shot the Germans, they just dropped dead. That's not good enough today. No, they want to see the blood splatter out of the chest. They want to see the body blown apart by the grenade. It's not enough to just shoot them and watch them die. It's not Roy Rogers anymore, folks. They want something a lot more violent than that in this society. They're addicted to it. People watch that MMA where they get in that cage and they're fighting. I mean, they're about ready to eye gouge and break arms and all this kind of stuff. Why are you interested in that? It's not normal to watch all of that and to get excited about it. There is something wrong down in your heart. The devil works through that. He's messing with people's heart, and then they don't have feelings for God. They've lost their focus that the devil's real and that we have a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But see, the devil has desensitized you, and you're not even thinking about the fight against him. And he's fighting you the whole time. That's what's happening. There's a broken heart because of addictions. Prescription pain medication is probably the one that has the most people these days. Addiction. Why? The doctor just gives it to them. I've talked to preacher friends that, you know, for one reason or another, they had a broken bone or something happened, and the doctor would give them some medicine. They'd say, boy, I took that for like a couple of days, and I couldn't take it anymore. It reminded me of when I was lost and on dope. It made me feel that way. I couldn't take that stuff anymore, or it would bring me back into captivity. I got loose from that when I got saved. There's other people, it doesn't seem like it matters. They're on it. They're just taking a little bit for this or a little bit for that. On prescription pain medication, but you're just addicted. It's an intense craving and desire that you just have to satisfy. It becomes more important than anything else. That's what an addiction is. Lost control. Now, something else, if you look in John 14, and the fourth point here is about anxiety. Many people have a broken heart because of anxiety. In John chapter number 14, in verse number 1, John chapter number 14, in verse number 1, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." See, there's going to be an awful lot of trouble. Man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. So Jesus said, don't let it get down in your heart. Everybody is going to have their share of trouble. That's life. Don't let it get down in your heart. Believe also in me. This is what David said in Psalms 25 and verse 17. "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me," "bring thou me out of my distresses." See, what happened was, his troubles, they got enlarged in his heart. They're down in his heart, now they've grown. They've gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. They've taken control. He's got a broken heart here by anxiety, all these troubles. Today, there's people that have, they are stressed out. We live in a stressed out society. Now, people are stressed out for various reasons. A lot of times, they're stressed out because they keep too busy of a lifestyle. People do not take any time. You know, in the Bible, it talks about meditating. It talks about Isaac going out in the field to meditate there in the evening. In the book of Psalms, it talks about meditating upon the Word of God. People don't take 2 minutes to think about anything. They're too busy and creating all this stress. You know, we're supposed to have all these things that save time. And the time you save, you cram something else in there that there's not really enough time to do. I'll tell you, if it takes 30 minutes to drive somewhere, people like they want to leave 25 minutes before they got to be there. Everything we do is like trying to cram something that takes 30 minutes into 25. That's how people live, and that's why they're stressed out. People get stressed out by work. They're stressed out by relationships because they don't know how to interact with people nowadays. There's all this stress that's going on, and there are conflicting responsibilities. That's one thing that causes stress. You're supposed to do this, but you're supposed to do that. We have a lot of self-inflicted stress. Now, I hope I don't offend you here, and you just go ahead and take this and take it the right way, I hope, okay? But listen, in this society, they pushing to have both spouses work. You know that. Husband's got to work a job, and if he's the only one that does work, you'll barely be able to afford a mobile home or a small house. That's about all you're going to have, and you're not going to be putting the kids in designer clothes either. All right. So this society has pushed people to have both spouses working a job. But you know, that creates some conflicting responsibilities for mom. What mother that's normal, okay, doesn't feel a sort of responsibility to take care of her home? Even if she can't be there to cook every meal, she kind of feels like she should be. Even if somebody else is going to have to pitch in and do some laundry, down in her heart there's a feeling like she knows that taking care of that home is like what she's supposed to be doing here. She's working a job, making an income like the man, but there's this internal turmoil because we now have conflicting responsibilities. You say, where does this stress come from? Well, it gets down in the heart, there's broken hearts. Jesus is the only one that can heal these kind of problems. People just have so much on their plate, and you need to get some of it off. It says in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Something else is that people are paralyzed by worry and by fear. Okay, not just stress, but worry and fear. People nowadays are so concerned about politics. You don't know how many people are so worried about what's going to happen in our country. I know what's happening, okay, folks? It's going to hell. I don't have to worry about that or be afraid about it. That's what's happening. Our president today is worse than the one before him. Who was worse than the one before him? Who was worse than the one before him? That's how it goes, okay? They are getting worse. They collect the kings of Israel. Everyone that came along was worse than the one before him. By the time you get to Ahab, it said he was worse than all the ones that came before him. You thought, how is that possible? They've all been so bad to this point. They just keep getting worse and worse. Our Supreme Court is only going to get worse. You say, they got nowhere to go but up now. No, I'm afraid that's untrue. As hard as I can find it to believe it, because they have stooped so low, they've gone so into the gutter, but it'll go lower. I know that will happen. But Jesus said we don't have to worry about that. When you see all these signs coming to pass, then lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. We're going to get out of here. This world's headed down, but we're headed up. You don't have to be worried and fearful about that. But a lot of times we're like Elijah. Elijah allowed one person. He had a great victory on Mount Carmel and allowed one person to totally fill him with fear and defeat him. And he runs off into the wilderness, afraid of Jezebel. And he was there for 40 days. Over a month, he had one person put all this fear in him after a great spiritual victory. And all that anxiety in his heart, what's going to happen to me? I'm the only one. Oh, God. You say, that can't happen to me. Oh, it can. A lot of preachers go through that. A lot of preachers start to feel like they're all alone out there. And it happens. That's what Elijah was. He was a prophet. And it'll happen to preachers. It'll happen to people in the pews. It'll happen to you. Get full of fear. In Matthew 13 and verse 22, it said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. You see, the care of this world all the anxiety, worrying about all those cares, it'll take and cripple you, paralyze you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, if you would, turn to Ephesians 4, and let me pick up the next one here. The fifth point tonight, people have broken hearts because of anger. In Ephesians chapter number 4, and in verse number 26, Ephesians 4 and verse 26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Boy, you're giving place to the devil when anger gets down in your heart. This verse, interestingly, it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And you read in Ecclesiastes 7:9 that anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Boy, you might get angry. It could happen, okay? You know, it just might. But don't allow yourself to go to bed on that. Don't rest on your anger. It rests in the bosom of fools, is what the Bible says. It's going to give the devil he's going to give him an advantage over you. You say, well, what happens when I get angry? Well, look down there at verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. So you're grieving Him. Let all bitterness, see, it goes to bitterness. And wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. You say, where does all that gossip come from? Anger down in the heart. They got a broken heart. That's why they got that long tongue. Be put away from you with all malice. Right. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you get over how God forgave you for Christ's sake, yeah, anger is going to build up in your heart. The lost are full of anger tonight. That's how the world is. But Christians end up that way when they forget about how much God has forgiven them for Jesus' sake. It says there in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You say, how many is that? Well, I think about it like this. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus said, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many that go in thereat. We live in a world of about 7 billion people. And when He said many, I mean, we're talking about like 99% are headed to hell. How many people then are defiled with bitterness when He said many? I'd say it's a lot. It's a lot of people that have bitterness down in their heart tonight. They have a broken heart because of that bitterness. Now, the last thing, if there could be someone here not saved tonight, turn to Titus chapter number 1. And I know the lost are deceived into feeling they're not so bad. In the sight of God, you're a sinner, a wicked sinner who could never enter heaven. And God wants to save you. Jesus wants to heal your broken heart because you have abomination that has broken your heart. In Titus 1, in verse number 16, the Bible said, they profess that they know God. Oh, we live in a world that professes to know God. Ask people, are you saved? They say, sure, I'm okay. I hope I'll make it. They profess they know God, but in works they deny Him. Their life doesn't line up with it. Being abominable and disobedient. They disobey the Word of God all the time. People that say they're Christians, but they never agree with God on anything. They're disobedient to Him left and right at every turn. And unto every good work, reprobate. They have a broken heart because of sin. That's a harsh reality, but every person is going to have to admit they're a sinner before they can ever get saved. Until you are going to agree with God that there is none righteous, no, not one, and every man at his best state is altogether vanity, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that means me. Until you can do that, your heart is broken by sin. You have abomination in your heart in the sight of God. You can never be saved till you at least come to that first step right there. Revelation 21 and verse 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it, talking about heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. See, just telling a lie is abomination to God. It's sin against His holiness and against His righteousness and against everything He is. Holy and true is what He is. You tell a lie, you're going against His truth. He said, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Boy, Jesus wants to heal hearts. You say, who here tonight might have a broken heart? I dare say about everybody's got something that has hurt your heart. And Jesus is the one who has the answer, not me.
That's right.
Not the pastor, not other preachers, not other Christians. Certainly not worldly psychologists or other social workers in this world. Only Jesus can heal hearts. He can heal when you've got anguish. He can heal when it's because of affections. He can heal because of addiction. He can heal because of anxiety. He can heal the anger. He can heal the abominations that have broken hearts here tonight. Let's all stand. Let's have the pastor come ahead. And if God's spoken to your heart, come to an old-fashioned altar and tell the Lord about it. Tell Jesus.